Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Here until 5 a.m. And that is by a band that was covered by The Secret History of Chicago Music and featured in the book My Kind of Sound, The Secret History of Chicago Music Compendium by Plastic Crime Wave, a.k.a. Steve Krakow. He's got a book signing this Thursday at Quimby's Bookstore. It starts at 7 p.m. And it's been out for a while now. And, you know, we have a great relationship with Steve Krakow. Steve actually started doing the radio version of The Secret History of Chicago Music on my show some years ago when he started doing this. Now, The Secret History of Chicago Music, for people who might not know, is a one sort of panel comic. They kind of look like big trading cards that are researched and written and inked and put together and drawn by Steve Krakow. And they're really awesome. They're really original. And every couple of weeks they show up in the reader. And then we would have Steve on to talk about those artists. And it's basically like the subtitle of the panel of the comic is Pivotal Chicago Musicians That Somehow Have Not Gotten Their Just Dues. And that's what he does. He shines a light on these Chicago musicians and artists and bands that you might not have heard about. But he does it, and he's been doing it for a while, and now there's a book, and we want to welcome back to the show. It's been a while since we've had him on, Plastic Crime Wave, also known as Steve Krakow, and we welcome Steve back to the show. Steve, how are you, man?
Good. It's good to be back.
How you been?
I got this wave of nostalgia just washed over me.
Yeah, I know, man. Sunday nights we would do
it
for many years. Now, when did we start with you?
Well, the Strip, it's been 10 years. The Strip started in 2005.
Wow.
So a little over 10. And I want to say, you know, you guys interviewed me kind of early on. You know, it had maybe been running for less than a year. And then we did kind of like the show shortly thereafter.
Yeah. That's
the regular, regular bit. Yeah.
Man, time flies.
I know.
Totally flies. And by the way, you still have a great connection here to WGN because you are now regularly featured on Outside the Loop Radio with Mike Steven and Andy Herman, who were my former producers.
It's the smallest little world, ain't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So that first piece of music that we just played, we play with a little melancholy tone here, because that's American Breed.
Yes.
And was that your first one?
No, actually, they were probably in the early running, but I think we actually just did them in the book kind of like alphabetical order.
Got
it. Because we didn't know exactly how to do it. And the very first one was actually Phil Coran.
Oh, right.
Who was sort of like father of jazz funk from Chicago.
Mm-hmm. And, first of all, let's talk about how this whole thing started, the Secret History of Chicago Music, how it started, and give a little bit of background on yourself. You're a musician here in Chicago, tell us a little background on you and how you got into art, and then how this started.
Okay, well, where do we begin here? I've lived in the city proper for 20 years, but I grew up in the near north suburbs. So, you know, Chicago music has always been something, an important thing in my life, even at times when I didn't know it, you know. And, you know, I'm kind of a comic guy. I guess I mostly make my living at illustration. But I kind of started this magazine called the Galactic Zoo Dossier, which covered all sorts of weird bands. And it's published by Drag City, which is sort of a major indie label here in the city. And I just realized I was writing up all these Chicago bands. And I was like, why don't I do something like a regular comic strip, you know, for this? And I wrote The Reader, and actually it was some years before it was published. And the editor at the time didn't really get where I was coming from, and it didn't happen. And then I sort of repitched it when Allison True was the editor at The Reader. And she kind of worked with me on the format a bit and kind of got it into that trading card-ish format that you mentioned. And we were off and running. I just always, you know, really wanted to. There's so many great musicians. You know, obviously you hear about Chicago the Band. You hear about Buddy Guy. You hear about, you know, these very famous musicians. But there's so many some that were just as talented and just had bad managers, some that weren't as talented but were really great, you know, at what they did, and some that just did incategorizable music that you could never sell anybody, but it's, you know, they're true artists. So there's just so many great, great, varied strains of music from Chicago.
Yeah, and you have exposed a lot of people to these artists that they might not have ever heard of. And one of the great things about, you know, doing the radio version of it was that we were lucky enough to have many of these artists come on live with us and talk with us and you know, and then obviously hear some of their music.
Yeah, no, I mean, we had some great, I think, didn't we have a three country call go on once?
Yes, we did.
I think we had someone who had now lived in the Netherlands and New York, and yeah. Yeah, no, it was really great to get to, did we ever get Ken Nordine on?
Yes, we did.
Yeah. I mean, geez, that alone, I mean, wow.
Yeah. So that's how it started. And, the book came about. Now, had there been talk of doing a book at the 10-year mark? Is that when you guys thought about doing it?
There's actually been talk for even longer than that. And I had a few publishers vaguely interested, a few that even approached me, but it never quite seemed right. And then the bigger publishers were all sort of deeming it too regional, which, you know, if it was a New York book about New York music, would people say it's too regional?
Right.
No.
Yeah, yep.
You know, but all this is Chicago, even though, like, most genres were birthed here in Chicago, it just doesn't get that respect.
Yeah.
As being an international music city. But, so, yeah, it was just not the right thing. It just wasn't really happening. And then, yeah, finally, local publishers, Curbside Splendor, who have done some really great stuff. They did a book of, like, Tony Fitzpatrick's columns and art, and they're doing a big book about the empty bottle that's going to be sort of like a coffee table book. And they sort of stepped up and said they would like to do it. And, yeah, 10 years had passed, so we got about over 200 of those things in there.
Wow, that's unbelievable. So, tell us, okay, so you started doing this, and it did take off, became popular, how do you pick these bands to do?
It's very so grayly. Sometimes, you know, it's just a band whose record I've liked, you know, like say the American Breed, you know, a band like maybe people know a couple of the hits, but do they know that much about the band? Do they even know really who did those hits? And then there's bands where I just find it at the thrift store and it's something that's been clearly privately pressed into like not many copies. Sometimes, you know, a friend tells me about his dad's band, you know, that existed and never recorded anything, you know, or sometimes, you know, I'm covering a blues guy who, you know, blues historians know a lot about, but maybe the general public doesn't know that much about. So it really varies, you know, and I have friends, luckily, who are great and into really varied forms of music because I really like to cover everything, you know, from jazz and blues to experimental to rock to garage rock to folk, you know, and anything, you know, it's as long as it's good.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I always say. Yeah.
All right. So the book, tell me about how you put the book together. What did you want to accomplish with the book?
I mean, you know, overall, I thought it would be really nice to have them all in one place. And, you know, you can peek at things online and stuff. But, you know, I wanted it to be sort of a little document slash history of the Chicago music scene buried within all these sort of biographies and just to present them all. But, you know, it was nice to write up a couple little introductions to, because I've had little weird sub features. I do all winter. I do the winter blues where I there's so many great blues musicians from Chicago that
right.
I cover. We did Metal Month one month. There was a Prague Awareness Month where we got into the progressive rock scene of Chicago. So it's kind of amazing to see them all scattered out in there. And, you know, I got to explain it. And there's a couple little bonus sections in the back where I get to show the process sort of involved because everything's hand-drawn. I'm just terrible with computers and stuff, so I get to show my whole little cut and paste sort of hand-drawn process.
How many people are still doing that, Steve? I mean, you're in the art world. Are there a group of people that still do that? Do the old cut and paste?
Yeah, I mean, in the like sort of like indie comics world, there's a lot of hand drawn kind of people, and comic books in general, you know, there is, but there's little pockets of people who I don't think use a computer for very much of the process. But I don't know. I'm kind of in my own little world, so I have to admit I don't really know fully what's going on out there.
Yeah. Well, listen, man. Once you get, because I'm a creature of habit, and I think you are too.
Yeah.
And once you get kind of used to something and you like something, you know, you just do it that way, even if it's not the most popular way to do it.
Yeah, and I have seen trends sort of come and go. You know, there was a while there where everything was done on a computer. Nobody wanted to see hand-drawn everything. And then a couple years later, you know, a McDonald's menu blows by and it's all hand-drawn. And I'm like, wait a minute, you know, like something just changed. You know, I think people are going back a little bit to wanting something more handcrafted in their beers and everything, you know. So I think it's changed a little bit, but it's just the way I know how to do it. Like you said, creature of habit. I don't know how to do it any other way.
But it looks great though, and there's a very distinctive and genuine quality to the work that you do, and you can tell that it's done that way, and I think that's important, and I think that makes the style more distinctive.
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
I mean, my heroes are probably all hand dry. You know, I like my Robert Crumb. I like my Jack Kirby. I like these guys all. They just drew stuff by hand, you know?
Yeah. The book is called My Kind of Sound, The Secret History of Chicago Music. It's by Steve Krakow. J.C. Gable is your editor. And you got D-Row to do the foreword.
Yeah, it was really nice. That was really nice. I've had a sort of relationship with him for a long time. He wrote up my band once, and actually we practice across the hall from his band right now.
Oh, cool.
So I see him every once in a while, and then he wrote a really nice forward. It made me blush a little.
Cool. Well, we'll talk more about that, and we'll talk about the contents of the book and some of the bands. And then, Steve, we have to talk about, since I got you here, we're going to break. Mm-hmm. We're going to break right now. But we have to talk about what a horrible month for death in music January was.
Oh.
I mean, unbelievable. We have to talk about it because some major, major, major artists died. And it all seemed to start, a landslide started when Lemmy died.
Yeah.
And it all just kind of just continued. And we hope it just stops. But we have to touch on some of these major, major artists who passed away.
Okay.
All right, we will. I don't want to depress you, Steve. I understand.
I know. Okay. I can do it. I can do it.
Okay, cool. Well, Steve Krakow, hang on, also known as Plastic Crime Wave, and he's got a book of his great comic strip. It's just a phenomenal thing called The Secret History of Chicago Music. I featured it on my show for many, many, many years. It was a regular feature, and now they are all put into a book, and it's called My Kind of Sound, The Secret History of Chicago Music. He's got a book signing this Thursday at Quimby's Bookstore. It starts at 7 p.m. And we'll talk more with Steve Krakow coming up after we take a break right here on 720 WGN. Enough's enough. Yeah. Yeah, man. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trip Tower. Yeah, that's Enough's Enough, a band that you've heard me talk about many times on this show. I have a few Enough's Enough stories. We have also talked about the legendary Thirsty Whale on this show many times. And now we're talking about Enough's Enough because that band is featured as part of the book, My Kind of Sound, The Secret History of Chicago Music, with Steve Krakow, who writes it and draws it and researches it and all that stuff. He's got a book signing this Thursday at Quimby's Bookstore. It starts at 7 p.m. All right, Steve, welcome back, man.
I was pleased to hear some's Enough there.
Yeah. Okay, well, for people who might not know, Enough's Enough was part of your metal month in 2010.
Yeah. Yes, 2010.
They're in the book. And tell everybody about a little bit about Enough's Enough.
Well, you know, they sadly got a little bit, kind of lumped into the whole hair metal thing a bit. And they had a little buzz, going there, probably off the heels of that scene. But, I always thought they were just kind of like a good cheap Trickian power pop band, you know, with occasional psychedelic flourishes,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
They're from the Burbs, right? They were out.
Yeah,
I never did get to see them at the Whale.
They were pretty great.
I've
told you the story many times where I was staying at a hotel with my girlfriend at the time, and this was like in 1991, so it was like right around the time when they had, like, their album had been out for a while at that point, a couple of years, like the first one with, well, that from that album with Fly High Michelle and that song, on a new thing. And I ended up being mad at my girlfriend. She stayed up in the hotel room, and I went down to the hotel bar to get drunk because I was mad. And I ended up running into Chips Enough and a bunch of people.
Chips Enough. And I think I used to bag groceries for his mom when I was a teenager.
Well, there you go. So Enough's Enough is featured as part of your that was part of your metal month. And the first band that we played, American Breed, tell everybody about them.
Oh, they were a great, they were an early mixed race band, if you will, which was kind of a big deal at the time and sort of broke some boundaries. And a bunch of the guys ended up in Rufus.
Yeah.
AKA Ask Rufus. But they're just a great little sort of, you know, garage pop kind of band who, you know, the other maybe kind of hit was Step Out of Your Mind. So that one was pretty big, but I just felt like, yeah, they needed a little more love. Actually, the singer just passed.
Yes.
There's another one, Gary Loizo,
yeah.
Loizo,
yeah.
Yeah, who also produced, like, Styx Records and stuff at Golden Voice. Was that the studio? Yeah, he just passed.
He was right in the middle of this past month. Just right in there, man.
Yeah.
It just seemed like so many big ones were passing away. But they were a great – American Breed was a great band, the American Breed. It was a great band. And that Bend Me, Shape Me, that is a great song.
That's like a classic.
Absolute classic.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolute classic. Now, you mentioned, Steve, that, you know, there are so many genres that were birthed here and so many genres that have been popular and really – nursed here in Chicago. How do you feel about the Chicago music scene, you know, historically and now?
I mean, I think it's great. I think it always gets the sort of short shrift a little bit, you know. I mean, as far as, like, say to, like, compared to LA or New York or something like that, but I think you look and there's just been so many great. I mean, obviously, there's things we're known for. We're known for the blues. We're known for a bit of jazz, you know, and obviously some, you know, arena rock bands and stuff like that. But, you know, I think you look and there's just so much that happened here. And, you know, my mind would just be constantly blown. I was covering a band called Illinois Speed Press, and it turns out that Skynyrd worshipped them and could cover their entire first record and completely influenced your sound. So you could even argue that Southern rock was birthed in the Midwest,
yeah,
in Chicago.
Yeah.
Just stuff like that. And I think it's still great. I've been playing in bands for almost 20 years in this city, and it's just a really varied scene, and there's not much pretension, and people like all forms of music and play in different bands that are all different kinds of music and don't even really necessarily think about it. It's just, and there's people coming to shows who folk guys are going to see, you know, jazz bands, and jazz guys are going to see rock bands, and I feel like it's not cliquish or anything like that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it always seems, and it seemed that way for a really long time. And I have a lot of bands on the show, Steve, that come in and, like, you know, they'll play live, and I always ask them how they feel about the scene. And a lot of people are coming from, and still to this day, Steve, lots of people come from those towns to play here. Like, you know,
yeah,
like, you know, a lot of people are like, yeah, I was in LA for a while, but screw it, I came back here to Chicago.
Everyone's trying to make it out there.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's kind of that's just the case.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit before we get back into the book, which is available. And it's available everywhere. Where can people get it?
Yeah, you can order it directly from Curbside Splendor. You can order it on your Amazon. You can get it at Barnes & Noble. It's actually all around. And then if you go to local record stores in Chicago and local bookshops, they should have it.
Okay. And it's called My Kind of Sound, The Secret History of Chicago Music, and it's by Steve Krakow. Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the passings just this past month. I want to, you know, maybe pay a little tribute or at least get your views on some of the legendaries. Obviously, Lemmy was a ridiculous loss.
That hit me hard. Yeah. I mean, you know, I guess the guy was 70. He was a very hard, probably next to Keith Richards was the guy like, wow, he's still standing. But then he still stood there and so defiantly for so long that you just kind of thought he was going to be forever. You know, I just never thought there really could be a world without him, you know?
Yeah. It was tough. I watched about a couple of months before he passed this footage from, I think it was Austin, Texas.
Yeah. Is that when he passed out?
When he left the stage, he had to leave the stage. And you know, he came back on and said he apologized and everything, but he was, you know, he was using a cane. And he sounded bad. And it was at that point when I went, oh, man, this is not going to be good.
I definitely caught wind of that, and I was like, you know, but he finished the tour. He finished the tour, you know, and so I was like, oh, okay, he's back. He's back, you know, and then, yeah, that was a hard-hitting one, and then obviously Mr. Bowie was quickly after that.
Yeah, I don't even, you know, I mean, can you tell me about, like, the first time you got into Bowie? Can you remember, you know, when you discovered Bowie?
Junior high or high school via classic rock radio, hearing like Suffragette City and a couple of those songs and being like, whoa, you know, this rock. And I still hadn't figured out like what it was yet or what made it unique or anything per se. I just thought it rocked, you know. Yeah. I just thought this was just killer classic rock.
Yeah.
You know, and then I delved deeper and, you know, got into, you know, each distinct period, you know, in his career. And obviously he's just an irreplaceable sort of, you know, chameleon-like figure of many, you know, they just don't make them like that anymore.
Yeah, and his last, the album that he left with us, the last album, is pretty unbelievable. You know, it's a pretty remarkable record.
Yeah, I'm weird. Like, I can't, when people go, I actually can't listen to their music for a little while. It bums me out, so I've just been kind of staying away for a little bit, and then it'll be fine. It'll be okay.
Yeah, no, and I mean, you know, so it was Lemmy, and then obviously David Bowie, and there are more that I'm forgetting. I mean, obviously Cantner.
Right, and Sidney Anderson, the original Airplane singer, who I was quite a fan of, and there were some, you know, guys that weren't as celebrated. There was a more minor glam singer guy, Brett Smiley, who passed away, who was really underrated.
We mentioned the lead singer of the American Breed.
Yeah. Giorgio Gomelsky, who actually was like he early on managed the Stones and the Yardbirds, and then he started his own label in the 60s. He was basically involved in every major underground music scene from the 60s to like the 80s. Amazing guy. And yeah, he was a titan, and he just passed too. So
it's been a rough, man, what a rough month. Maurice White, an amazing musician.
And
Glenn Frey from the Eagles, Glenn Frey.
Yeah, as well. Yeah.
I mean, just, you know, people were just, it got to the point where it was like, you know, when Cantner died, I was like, okay, that's enough. And I posted on my Facebook page when Cantner died, the clip from Gimme Shelter.
Oh, yeah. Very famous. Where just punched our lead singer.
Exactly. So I'd like to thank them for that. When he says somebody knocked out Marty Balin, he's not been knocked out. I'd like to thank them for that. And Dale Griffin, the drummer from Mott the Hoople.
Yeah, Buffin.
Buffin. He died as well, like right after Bowie.
Yeah, it's been rough for the glam guys.
Man, oh man. Can you remember the first band that you really got into? Like you know, I know that you're very eclectic in your taste, and was there a band that you were obsessed with or an artist that you really became obsessed with?
Yes, and I know you're not a fan.
Oh, it's the Doors.
Yeah.
As soon as you say not a fan, because I'm in the minority on that, Steve.
You know what? I know a lot of haters, and I know the reasons, and I even agree with some of them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So the Doors was it? Can you remember what it was about the Doors that fascinated? Was it Jim Morrison that did it for you?
I think 10 to 12 year old me was, you know, entranced, and it just seemed, you know, I was reading probably lots of like fantasy books and, you know, reading comics and sci-fi, and it seemed like something beyond me. It was something mysterious and sort of, supernatural or something, yeah. You know, which that faded a little bit with time. And then, you know, it just seemed beyond. Honestly, though, probably the first band I could identify on the radio was the Beatles, you know, so I probably concurrently was getting into all of those.
All
of
that stuff was
well.
Hitting me at the same time. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Steve, hang on a second, okay? All right, and we're going to come back. Steve is the guy who created The Secret History of Chicago Music. It was a regular feature on my show for many, many years, and now it's a regular feature on Mike Stevens' show, Outside the Loop Radio. You can hear it right here on WGN every Saturday morning at 6 a.m. All right, Steve Krakow will join us. PlasticCrimeWave.com is his website, PlasticCrimeWave.com. And the book is called My Kind of Sound, The Secret History of Chicago Music by Steve Krakow, with a foreword by Jim DeBrugatis. He's got a book signing this Thursday at Quimby's bookstore. It starts at 7 p.m. Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll come back, and Steve will tell us about some of his favorite artists that are featured in the book. And we will talk all about that and more right here on 720 WGN.
And it wasn't just that he running hid, but the meanest thing that old man did is before he left, he went and named me Sue. Yeah, he must have thought it was quite a joke, and it got lots of laughs from lots of folks. It seems I had to fight my whole life through. Well, the girl would giggle, and I'd turn red. Some guy would laugh, but I'd have to bust his head, and
yeah.
I'd tell you, life ain't easy for a boy named Sue.
Yes, the original boy named Sue. Shel Silverstein. Shel Silverstein, a lot of people know as a writer, but he was also a musician and a songwriter. And he indeed wrote Boy Named Sue, which became a smash hit for Johnny Cash. And Shel Silverstein was featured as part of The Secret History of Chicago Music and is in the book that is called My Kind of Sound, The Secret History of Chicago Music. Steve Krakow joins me, Nick DiGilio, on 720 WGN. And he's got a book signing this Thursday at Quimby's bookstore. It starts at 7 p.m. By the way, we also, in the last segment, we forgot to mention Otis Clay.
Oh, yeah, Otis Clay, too. Oh, my God.
Man, it's just ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Okay, yeah.
Let's talk about some of the artists that you found the most interesting, or the stories that really stood out for you, like when you because you would know maybe a little bit about the band, but then you would learn so much in researching it. What were some of the stories that stick out for you as, you know, the most surprising, the weirdest, or the coolest? Give me a few examples of those that are in the book.
Probably my favorite is this band Ono that I had their record for years. I bought it at a record show, I think in college, just because it looked interesting to me. And the album's called Machines That Kill People. It's unlike anything I've ever heard. It's sort of industrial. It has gospel elements. I guess if you had to put under a heading, you would just put it in experimental, because it's just in its own tree. Wondering for years what the story was on those guys. Finally, no information. I find actually the newer bands, like, because they were from the 80s, which for my historical thing is newer.
Right.
You know, people always are like, why don't you cover bands from the 90s? And I'm like, well, because I'm old and I'm in my 40s, and that doesn't seem old to me, you know? But the 80s, I'll do. And anyway, so I was kind of wondered what their deal was. I finally found the lead singer is he had his name legally changed to just Travis.
Right.
And he is this amazing visual artist, this amazing guy. Found him, found all the other members. One guy lives three blocks from me over on Rockwell.
Yeah.
P. Michael, the leader of this band. So I get their whole story. It's totally insane. They would open for Ministry. They were good pals with Al Jurgensen. They would open for Naked Raygun, and people would pelt them with pennies because they didn't know what to make of it. They were this just really crazy experimental band. And then I guess, you know, my next move was You know the long-running TV show Chicago-Go-Go?
Yes, oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's an institution here in Chicago. Over 1,000 episodes.
Wow.
On public access TV. It's insane.
Yeah.
Jake, the guy, was like, hey, why don't you do some Secret History-themed episodes that you sort of curate and get some of the bands on here? And I was like, oh, okay, cool. So I go to the Ono guys. Hey, you guys haven't played in like 20 years, but would you want to sort of just mime to one of your songs on Chicago-Go-Go? Because that's how they do it. They mime. You don't actually perform.
Mm-hmm.
Old school, like the American breed would have done,
yep,
you know?
Yep.
So they go on the show. They like playing together so much again. They reform. The band reforms. Now they're putting out records, like two a year. They have this huge following in Chicago. The kids see them and they go, oh, my God, these are some contented freaks who have been doing this for, like, 30 years, and they're in awe. I can see it on their faces. They're touring. They're playing festivals all around, and it's like – it's almost something I'm, like, most proud of, that I helped get them back together.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Lining them up for Secret History, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. And you got some gigs? You're still playing a lot, right?
Yeah. I got a couple projects. I got one. Plastic Crime Wave Syndicate is the new unit. We're playing at Kohl's in February, I think, on the 27th. And then we're playing end of March at Empty Bottle with Acid Mother's Temple from Japan, who are one of the best bands you'll ever see in your life.
Very cool.
And then I got another thing called Wear Wheels these days, and we're actually playing this gig out in L.A. And do you ever see a horror movie called Eyes of Fire?
Yes, I have.
We're going to play after a screening of Eyes of Fire.
Oh, that is awesome.
At the Cine Family. And actually, I was pushing for Phantasm. They're like, what movie do you want to play after? And I'm like, and they said 80s independent film. And I screwed up because Phantasm is 79.
It is 79, yes.
And the guy's like, oh, it's so close. Let me see if I can make it happen. Can't happen.
Oh.
So Eyes of Fire, but I've never seen it.
It's crazy.
I watched the preview, and I'm like, how have I never seen this? This looks banana.
It's crazy. It's absolutely,
yeah.
You're going to love it, man.
You know what? I'm almost saving it because I'm going to get to see it on a big screen in a really. The Cine Family is a really cool theater in LA,
yeah.
So I'm saving it. I just want to like be surprised, you know?
Yeah, great stuff. Okay, My Kind of Sound: The Secret History of Chicago Music by Steve Krakow, available everywhere. Check out PlasticCrimeWave.com. Jim Dero got us, the very own Big Dero, wrote the foreword for it. It's great stuff, Steve, and I'll talk to you soon. We got to get together sometime. Okay, man.
We should do it. Okay. When's the horror convention coming up this year? It's summer.
First week of August. It'll be like August 5th through the 7th.
Right on.
Yeah, man. I'll hook you up. Don't worry about it.
All right.
Okay,
good time.
Man. Take care.
All right.
There you go. Steve Krakow, who's awesome. And you can still hear regularly The Secret History of Chicago Music, the radio version. You can see it in the reader. You can hear it on the radio right here on WGN every Saturday morning, whenever it appears in the radio, every couple of weeks. And it's on the Outside the Loop radio. All right. Steve Krakow, talented guy, My Kind of Sound, The Secret History of Chicago Music. All right. We'll take a quick break here. It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN.